Now, real people, real opinions, Nighttime Talk.
Ireland's classic hits radio.
Welcome back to Nighttime Talk with myself, AJ Walsh, sitting in for Niall Boylan. Now, next up, we're talking about St. Patrick's Day. It's just around the corner and we're asking you, what does Irish patriotism mean to you? Or is it all just about the drinking? For some, being patriotic is about flying the tricolour, singing the old rebel songs and remembering Ireland's long fight for independence. For others, it's about embracing our culture, our language. But it seems that for a lot of people, it's all about the drink. And that is how many throughout the world see us, especially on St. Patrick's Day. Irish identity is complex. It's tied to history, politics and even where you're from. So what does Irish patriotism mean to you in 2025? Is it about remembering the past or looking to the future? Is it about the music, the politics, the celebrations or all of the above? Or is it all just about the drink? Do we make a show of ourselves how we drink around the world on Paddy's Day? Is that how we are perceived? And how will you be celebrating on Monday? Is there anything wrong with having a few drinks with the day that's in it? Let us know your thoughts on WhatsApp 087 188 0008. And don't forget, if you have an issue that you want to hear discussed on the show, email aj.walsh@classichits.ie. Now, we're talking about this tonight because I was living in the UK for quite a few years and they don't celebrate St. Patrick's Day at all over there. And I was there like on a random weekday that was St. Patrick's Day. And I'm like, well, what do I do to celebrate? So I went out and I bought some Guinness. That was literally a couple of cans of Guinness and I had that. Because what else was I supposed to do? I didn't actually know how to celebrate. So I'm really interested to hear from everyone this evening to let us know how you celebrate. So I'm going to go to Garrett first. Hi, Garrett. How are you?
Good evening. Good news, yourselves.
Yeah, not too bad. So how are you going to be celebrating? What does Irish patriotism mean to you?
Well, we're all going as a family and go down to the parades and watch, I can see the Cork parade there. But obviously have a few pints. Well, that'll be a bit later. Now, for me, it's actually quite interesting as I would say I wouldn't be have been very hard into celebrating it before we actually lived here. But I think for a lot of people that I know, it is very much about the history and the pride of what it meant to be Irish and the struggles that have come along all the way.
And where are you from, Garrett? Are you from South Africa?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's it.
Okay. And how long have you lived here?
Oh, about 10 years now.
Okay. And have you celebrated it then for the last 10 years?
Yeah, well, the first year, I would say, no, it was just more like, oh, great, that's a nice day off.
Yeah, sure.
but no, it is. It's the more I actually, how can I say, spoke to the Irish friends that I've made and people that I've gotten to know here, the more I came to realize what Paddy's Day actually really was about. You know, not just the drink, although for quite a bit of the young I do think it is more just a day to drink of that. I don't think everyone shares that, how can I say, the nostalgia of the reason why we celebrate it.
So what's your understanding of being Irish? What's your understanding of the reason why it's celebrated as someone who's not from here?
Well, firstly, to me, it did seem... And the way in the beginning it was, let's all have a good pint and just kick back for one day at least. But no, the more like I got to hear the reasoning behind St. Paddy's and that it was more about, you know, how I would say the wrong was done and also how they have the will to always keep on. The Irish never really quit. It's a very, how can I say, jeepers, what's the right words?
Resilience. Our resilience.
Yes. It's very much about how, doesn't matter how tough and how hard stuff gets, the face of the Irish, they will always just have that will to continue on.
That's nice. That's nice that that's what you see because, yeah, I do think that we're resilient as a little island, you know? Let me go to Kim next. Kim is in the Netherlands.
Hiya, yeah.
Oh, so are you Irish living over there?
Yeah, no, I'm living here, what, like 8 years now? And I'm on my second study now, so I'm living here for a while.
Okay, and do you celebrate over there?
I mean, the Dutch don't, for sure.
Yeah.
But, like, throughout the years, like, it's always been a day that, like, if there's any Irish around, like, we'll either we'll gather in the house or we'll go down to the pub, even if we're not drinking, just, you know, just for the atmosphere, just to be around, like, your own people. Because don't get me wrong, I love the Dutch, I love the international communities I'm in, but it just makes you feel a bit more home on that day, you know?
It's always the pub, though, isn't it, Kim? It's always the pub.
Well, that, there's not a load of, like, Irish associations here. Like, there's really not that many of us. Like, if we see there's a pub on Paddy's Day, we're like, okay, we know we're going to find at least three of them, you know?
So this year it's on a Monday, so will you be working?
Ah, yeah, I'll be working. I'm probably going to be doing some studying as well.
So tell me what your day is going to look like then on Monday, and how you are going to celebrate your Irishness whilst you're out in the Netherlands.
Well, I'm probably going to be working for sure, but I'm hoping, like, because I don't work very late in the evening, and hoping, like, to make a stew when I go home, you know, just have a little something for myself. And then me and my partner might, you know, head down to the pub, not necessarily to drink, but just, like, for a bit of music, for a bit of banter, just to talk to other people. Because my partner is not Dutch, but not Irish. So I like to kind of share a little bit of my culture with him.
Culture, like, what is it? What are you going to do? Like, are you going to put on green? Are you going to have, like, shamrocks on your lapel or whatever? What is it that you're sharing with him?
Asher, I'd wear a bit of green anyways.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
Yourself. But, like, it's just, like, when, like, I hold back my humor here because it's not understood by a lot of people. Like, what, you know, you can't really go up to people on the street here and say, how you going, you old bastard? You know, I can't say that to someone here. If I go with other Irish people, you know, we can really, like, joke. Like, we can insult each other to make friends.
You can have a bit of crack.
If I do that with other people, like, yeah. Like, the crack is just different.
So
it's nice to just, like...
So the Irishness for you is the crack?
It's a bit of the crack. It's a bit of the music. It's just... the way I like to kind of describe, like, both the people in the middle of the Netherlands where I am and Irish people, the thing we have in common a lot, I kind of compare us to hobbits in a way.
Oh.
You know, if there's good food, if there's good energy, if there's good music and people, like, are able to relax, you know, that's a good evening. And I've lived in a couple of different countries for short amounts of time, and it's not that same homely feeling. If I go with other Irish people, I have that feeling again where you can be more grounded.
So what other countries have you lived in then, Kim? Where else have you celebrated it?
I've mostly celebrated in the Netherlands, to be honest.
Okay.
But I have been in Austria, I have been in Germany for a bit as well.
And is there an Irish bar then near where you are?
Ah, yeah, there's O'Shea's here. If I'm honest, I think their sister pub is in Dublin somewhere as well.
Oh, nice. Okay, so you've got your Irish bar. You can go, you can have a bit of the crack. You're going to put on some green. You're going to cook yourself a stew.
Yeah, it's just a day to kind of just, like, you know, although I've moved away, it's like I don't want to ignore the place that kind of has made me who I am. It is part of who I am, no matter where I move to. That will still be a part. You know, I'll always have a bit of Irishness in me that will stand out.
See, I always, when I was living abroad, so I've lived in Spain and I've lived in the UK, and in Spain it's massive because there's a massive Irish community over there, and they were fun Paddy's Days. Like, they were really fun because you got the weather as well, you know, because it's usually freezing here. It's absolutely freezing usually on Paddy's Day for some reason. We've had some mild weather there the last couple of weeks, and I guarantee it's going to be absolutely Baltic on Sunday, or Monday, I mean.
If not raining as well.
It's going to be raining. It has to be raining. It's always raining. Literally. So, yeah, we'll celebrate the Irish weather. I'm going to go to Maura next. We're talking about Paddy's Day and what being Irish means to you, really. If you want to get involved in the conversation, 087-188-0008 is the number for WhatsApp. I've got Maura on the line. Hi, Maura.
Hi, love. How are you? Talking the rest of the country, but I tell you now, Dublin, me hand in me heart, is a disgrace on St. Patrick's Day. It's nothing about being Irish. It's about getting drunk, young girls taking their knickers down and pissing in the street and shiting and doing it where anyone can see them, and people recording it and putting it all over Facebook and putting on the Instagram thing and just making a whole laugh of everything. Like, the Irish people at one stage were fighting people, and they had good, strong bones. They were brave. They're a disgrace. We fight for nothing. We fight for nothing anymore. We let the government do what they want. St. Patrick left a load of snakes in this country. They're all in Leinster House, and the biggest one there, Micheál Martin, having a good laugh in the crack today with Trump, laughing at the poor young Irish people that can't afford to buy houses and can't afford to rent houses. It's disgraceful, it is. We are not what we used to be. I tell you now, if England invaded tomorrow, we let them, because the fight is gone now with the Irish people. The only thing we have is humour, and we'd have a bit of humour about the whole thing, but that's all. It's an absolute disgrace, and I'm ashamed of my life. I'm ashamed of my life.
So will you be going to the parade, Moira?
No, it's bad. It was on the news saying there's terrorist attacks. They're threatening.
I have seen something about that on social media all right now. I don't know. Don't ask me.
There was some minister on, and he said, oh yeah, I know, he's aware of it, and he's letting the police know. And I'm like, oh, isn't that lovely? He's letting the police know to mind us all. Like, can't stand against that. I wouldn't bring my grandkids down to that. I'd be terrified. And I was thinking I'd bring them to the zoo. And then I was like, no, because you could get some mad fecker going around the zoo. So do you know what we'll do in our house? Like, we'll watch the parade on the telly, and please God, all will be safe. And then we watch a bit of Father's Head, because the kids love that. And that's a real Irish thing. So you sit down and you watch your Father's Head with your popcorn and your potato, and you mash it all together with a few minstrels and our Maltesers. And that's what Paddy's Day is. Because I wouldn't bring the kids out to see that. I'd be afraid they'd scare them. And my own daughters are the same. They'd be like, Mom, don't bring them into that. Like, terrifying.
I remember going into the parade in Dublin when I was a teenager. Oh my God. Like, and then you couldn't get home after. And I was like...
And that was years ago.
Oh,
and
that, like, was donkey's years, yeah.
Now. It's disgraceful now. And just, I laugh. Like, we went to the parade there about 8 years ago, and I had a ladder for the kids, and the policeman took the ladder off me, and he's like, you're not allowed to have that ladder. I said, what do you think I'm going to do? Kill someone with it? Like... Wasn't allowed to stand the ladder, and the kids say nothing.
Oh, that's because it's all blocked off, so you can't actually watch the parade. Yeah.
Some dirty old paedophile stand beside us kept getting closer and closer to the kids, and I had more to whip him in the street. And he didn't even defend himself, so I was like, I'm done. I am done. It's disgusting. It's disgraceful. Like, I'm ashamed of my life to say I live in Dublin City. Maybe somewhere down Cork could be nice. I don't know, or Kerry. But Dublin is a disgrace. It's disgusting. And there's nothing proud about Ireland anymore. I tell you that. The fighting spirit is gone. It's gone. It died with Michael Collins. That's when the fighting spirit died.
And that's it. And so when was the last time you were at a parade then? It was about 8 years ago.
8 years ago, I tell you. And I don't think there was one Irish person there. They were all lovely, fighting people, and all from America, and all, except that dirty old paedophile that's beside me now. He's from Dominic Street Flat. Make you sick, he was. I know his face. I've seen him again more now. I point him out to people. But there were lovely people there, but you couldn't go now. And like the dirty old flags there, having the piss up against the wall, and their fellas and all screaming at them. And I was like, oh my God.
Oh my God, you're really painting a picture. Oh my God.
It's disgusting. Like, and having little kids seeing that, that's not right.
No.
And then they think that's normal. Like, you know, and it was disgraceful. And it was very sad. Like, it really is very sad. And like, I wouldn't let my grandkids, like, go into that. It's disgusting. And even then, the little local parades as well, all these things. I still, my heart to be in my mouth going now. I'd be afraid to go anywhere after them threats. And I said, it's just like, it's gone the way London and America is gone. Like, it's terrifying. And they're going to arm the guards as well. And all them snakes there in Leinster House do what they want. Like, they let anyone have it. They would let anyone have it. We're like the prostitutes of Europe. We're a tester. That's what we are. Ireland is so sad. It's not the Ireland that was. Then I grew up. I had a beautiful Ireland. It's just disgraceful. And I'm ashamed. I'm ashamed of it. I'm ashamed of the people. I'm ashamed of the people for letting it get like that. I have fought every water charge, every march going. I'm out there marching with my family, and they get smaller and smaller, the crowds, and it's so, so shameful. It's so shameful.
Just let me go back to Gareth there. Gareth, were you listening to Moira? Mm. Have you had the same experience when you've gone out to parades? Have you found it being, you know, like, dirty and, like, you know, people just getting drunk, puking on the streets, that kind of thing?
I will say, downside in Cork here, no, not really. Well, there has been the odd occasion where the person has gotten so drunk that they've been helped out of the pub or, like, been carried somewhere. But I don't think I've seen it as bad as what she described there. Down here in Cork, it's been very much, I would say, more about the parade and how it's a time for family to actually just be proud of the heritage and the history that is Ireland, you know.
So you don't have
stay in Cork, love. You should stay in Cork if it sounds lovely and safe down there. Do not come near Dublin.
No. Well, I must say though, but it's the same. If I have to look back at, I lived in Johannesburg before moving over to Ireland here, and I found it the same. That Johannesburg is, oh man, it's rough and it's horrible. I don't like city living anymore because of that. So, like, where I'm staying now is lovely out in the country, and I'm loving it. But yeah, I would say I'm not a big fan of massive cities.
And the thing is, Dublin is tiny. You know, two people in Dublin, you know everybody. Like, Dublin is so small. I'm not messing. Everybody knows everybody. It's a tiny little city, and for it to be the state it is, it's disgraceful. And I blame the government, and I blame the people for allowing the government. They don't care anymore. They don't care. I know Cork always had a good, strong fighting spirit. And if I could afford to move to Cork in the morning, I'd get me 20 grandkids and me 4 daughters and down to fucking Cork I'd go. And I'd be happy down there in the middle of nowhere in a little country house living my life. But I can't afford that. I'm in a little flat in Dublin at the moment, and it's disgraceful, the rent that I'm even paying, and the place falling apart. Falling apart.
Guys, I'm going to have to go to the ads. Everyone stay with me there. I'm going to come to Damien after the break. We're talking about Paddy's Day and asking how you'll be celebrating your Irishness on Monday, or of course this weekend. It's the long weekend. If you want to get involved on WhatsApp, 087-188-0008. We'll be back after the break. Welcome back to Nighttime Talk with myself, AJ Walsh, sitting in for Niall all this week. We're talking about St. Patrick's Day and asking what Irishness means to you. We've got a message here from Stephen. He says, I'm living in Germany for the past 20 years. The Germans love the Irish, and the Irish pubs are always packed for St. Patrick's Day. For me, there's a pride in being Irish, not about drink, but for being known as a friendly nation without prejudice. Now, we've been talking to Garrett and Moira before the break, but I'm going to go to Damien now. Hi, Damien, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Not too bad. So how will you be celebrating St. Patrick's Day?
Well, I won't be celebrating it, but I've seen it being decimated. I'm 30 years driving a taxi in Dublin City. One of the nights I don't work is Patrick's Night, Paddy's Night. But I often laugh when I hear tourists saying to me, oh, the one place to be in the world on St. Patrick's Day has to be Ireland in Dublin. And I think, yeah, well, if you want to be walking around bodies and puke and blood, and it's just a drink fest. But, I mean, everything has been destroyed, eroded, of our culture, and that's just part of it over the last 20 years. You drive by Glasnevin Cemetery, you hear rumbling. I used to think it was the road outside, but I'm convinced it's the body spinning in the grave in there as to what's happened.
Oh, God, Damien.
No, well, I mean, it's there before your eyes every day of the week. I mean, you just go out and look. To find a trad session in the suburbs of Dublin especially is nearly impossible nowadays. To find any sort of Irishness about us anymore is gone. We're completely outnumbered. I'm not going to go down the immigrant road because at the same time the service industry and the health industry would be collapsed if it wasn't for immigrant workers. I have an awful lot of them live out where I am now. There's a lot of Indians and Pakistanis and Bangladeshi people, and they're all good customers of mine in the taxi. They're all working, they're all contributing, but it's just the change that's happened in the last, well, particularly 5 years, but over the last 20 years. Mm-hmm. It's just Ireland is gone. When I was a kid, my mother's brother-in-law had an office. He was a solicitor, and he had an office on the third floor there on the corner of Bachelor's Walk and O'Connell Street, and he used to give the key to my mother every year. And she'd bring us in and upstairs into the office, slide up the windows.
Oh, nice view of the parade.
Yeah, the better view than the president himself. And it was always a lovely day. And then you'd as you get into your 20s and that, and it was always, oh, make sure to have a haircut for Paddy's Day and go for a few pints. But we weren't falling around the place fighting and getting sick and drinking into oblivion. But of course, drinks changed then as well, of course. I mean, over the years, they got much stronger drinks. They got all these Alco-Pops. In my day, you'd very seldom see people in their 20s drinking spirits and getting absolutely hammered. So the whole thing, I suppose it's just the way the world is changing, but I just find it depressing that our culture has been eroded at such an alarming rate the last 5 years now.
So what will you do, anyway, Damien, on Monday?
My rant.
No, you're grand, Damien. Mm-hmm. That's lovely to hear your point. Yeah. But what will you be doing on Monday then? Like, because you were not going to be working. Yeah. You take the day off.
Well, I'd work during the day. Yeah. I'd work local in the local parade. I do local. But when it starts to get messy, when you see it starting to get messy, I'm out in Lucan. And they have a nice parade on here, although they've destroyed the village. They've started building something in it, and it was supposed to be finished, but it's not. So the village is kind of nearly a no-go area now. They ripped up the beautiful trees that were in the centre of Lucan village. I don't know whether you're familiar with it.
No, I know Lucan, I do know it. I haven't been in years,
They're putting in some concrete steps into the middle of the beautiful little park that was in the middle of the village, which I might add, the works started the week after the local elections. It would have been murder had it started before then, but anyway, that's another story.
Another
but I will
topic.
work. My kids are in their 30s now. I've no grandchildren, and you know something, I'm not sad about not having grandchildren. People say, oh, you've no grandchildren. I've no grandchildren, and it's not likely I'm going to have any at this stage, and I'm quite happy with that. Not just because of Ireland, but just because of the world, where the world has turned into what it's turned into. As my always say, we live on a beautiful planet, but we live...
Yeah, well, no.
I wouldn't like to be bringing kids up. We live on a beautiful planet, but we live in a horrible world.
Greed.
Moira, did you want to come in there?
World. It's a terrifying world. It really is. I have 20 grandkids there. I have 11 granddaughters and 9 grandsons. And I worry from the time I open my eyes in the morning to the time I go to sleep at night. And they're lovely kids. They're all very good. They're very good to their mothers. They're very good to me. They're very good to their fathers. But my heart breaks for them all. And I always say to them, you know, I used to encourage my kids and say, oh, have your babies. You'll love them more than life itself. And I'd say to my grandkids, don't be worrying about having kids and you go off and live the best life you can, because it would be sad. It's a shame nearly to bring a child into this world where it's gone. It's absolutely heartbreaking.
I agree with you 100%.
There's an awful lot of sadness about it. It really is now. And before, I would have been always have your kids and have your family, and that's all you need. And I worry so much about them. Will they ever get home? God only knows. I worry about the safety. Even the girls, like two of the girls are driving now. I just say, oh, thank God they're driving, because you'd be worried about them getting on the buses, and you worry about them getting from like from the Lewis to the train and that. And you're like, oh, Jesus, there's junkies going around. There's people going around murdering people, knives. People are being stabbed. It's absolutely terrifying. And the little park there beside us, sure, the girl was dragged in there a couple of years ago when she was raped. God love her. She was only 16. And like, that's a life destroyed. Like, that poor little one. My grandson was beaten up by a gang of lads there. And he ain't Irish. And not that, that to do with it, but I'm saying the gang of lads went with hammers and all and killed them. And all he was doing was walking his girlfriend across from one side of the park to the other to get her home. And he is terrified night going out. And he's a big, strong, good-looking lad. And he does the Aikido and all. But he is terrified. He's a fear in him. And he can't afford
I'm shocked with the amount of young girls that walk around. I'm shocked with the amount of young girls I see walking on their own in the middle of the night at the weekends, away from bus stops. I actually put a tweet up about it there last week, and I got a huge response. I wasn't looking for any bouquets, but I've done this so often, but last weekend, I'm driving back down towards the village, down the dark road from Dodsbury, and there's a girl at 2:30 in the morning, walking up the road on her own. And she looked a bit distressed or pissed. And I turned the car around and went back up, and I pulled up beside her. I said, what are you doing walking around on your own? Oh, she said, I hadn't enough for a taxi. I said, where do you live? She said, up in Shackleton. I said, get in there. No, she got in. I've done that a few times, by the way. And she got
there's
in
not
very...
not enough good people in this world, and you're one of them. Well, you're one of them. You know, I'm going to say a prayer for you tonight.
She didn't ask any questions. That annoyed me. She just got in, you know, where she should have been more careful. The wrong fellow might have pulled up beside her.
Go ahead, Garrett.
That is the part... Yeah, that is the part that I'm listening to now, and like somebody pulled up beside her, she should have actually rather said, "You know what? I'm fine. I can get on my own."
Yeah.
Because
it's actually
still pretty safe here in Ireland, comparison to South Africa. Like in South Africa, guys don't even go out on their own. There is always three or four people in a group. You never go anywhere alone.
But the thing is, that girl could have been at a party with our gang of friends, had an argument.
It turned out she had some row with the boyfriend or something.
And I've seen that happen with people before, because I'd say to my grandkids, "Now you ring, and I pay for the taxi to come and pick you up." And that's the thing.
But that
might not have been her fault.
But Damien, the thing is, Damien, like, you know, someone should be able to walk along the street at any time, you know, and that's a sad...
Yeah, of course they should, but that's a
sad
thing.
But that's not the reality in Ireland.
It's not, no.
That's not the reality.
But anyway, as my wife and daughter say, that women can tell a weirdo when they see him.
You mustn't be a weirdo then, Damien.
That's what I say. That's why they say they get in the car. I've done it a few times. I've driven more girls home for nothing. I'm not looking for money from them. I'd just be concerned when I see a girl walking down the road on her own in the dark, and she thinks by having the phone to her ear or her phone in front of her that it's some sort of protection. It's not, you know. It's just so frustrating.
That's where I say as well, like I said, is in South Africa, even if the group has an argument, if you don't have enough money to get yourself a taxi, someone will actually, even if you had a fight with each other, pay for that taxi. Because, like I said, in South Africa, it's gotten so bad that you go to an ATM in pairs. One person to watch and the other person to actually draw the money if they need to.
It's getting like that here, too. Dublin is not far from that. We don't live in a safe city. And it breaks my heart. I used to walk down to Dunn's like that early in the morning. I wouldn't go down to Dunn's now until it's past 12 o'clock. When I know the street is busy there, I'd be afraid to walk down before that time. And that's in the morning time. Like, it's awful. And you can't have nothing in your bag. And even there, I had a gang of Romanian gypsies now, and they robbed me poor Sammy bag. How they done it, I actually don't know. And a man tipped me, and he said, "Mrs., they're at your back." And the purse was gone, and so were they. And that was my pension. And I hadn't got a penny for the rest of the week to get to shopping. And I couldn't even tell my kids, because they'd be giving it, going, Ma, you shouldn't have done this. And I had a zipper under my arm and all. I don't know how they got it. And the eyes in the back of my head, I swear to God, it's awful. And I had to live out what I had left in the freezer. Because if I tell my kids that, they'd go mad. And I'm afraid that my grandson will go out. And he's one of them, like, God love me, say, was that him? And I'd be afraid you'd end up in a fight with someone that didn't even have anything to do with it. But, like, you can't have nothing, like, and it's not safe. Even the kids, one of their little school bag, one of them robbed the lunch out of the back of it. Like, if it's a child's lunch, I was like, if that hungry Jesus had given your man a sandwich, and it was nothing to do with it, it was just for the crack and the laugh, open the bag and rob his lunch, like, God knows what you thought he was going to get out of it, like, a few grapes or something. Absolutely disgraceful. Dublin is not safe, and it's so, so sad. And people don't care anymore. That taxi man, he's a lovely man. He reminds me of my late husband. He was a good man, he was. And like that, he'd always think of his girl. If he's seen an old girl like that and she was waiting on the bus, he'd stand and just at the shop just to make sure that girl was all right, getting on the bus. And he'd say, always think of my own girls. And that's who you are. You're a good man. You're thinking of your girl. And it's awful. It's so, so sad.
Sorry Ireland to cut you off there, Moira. I'm going to have to go to the news, but thank you so much, guys. Mary, I've got you on hold there. If you want to stay on hold, I will come to you after the news. Sorry, I didn't get a chance to get to you. Moira and Damien and Garrett, thank you so much for getting involved in the conversation. If you want to get involved as well, 087-188-0008 is the number for WhatsApp. We're talking about Irishness and how you're going to celebrate Patrick's Day. If you, like I said, if you want to get in touch, 087-188-0008. We'll be back after the news. Welcome back to Nighttime Talk. It's AJ in for Niall this week. We're talking about St. Patrick's Day. It's coming up on Monday. We've got a long weekend. And I'm asking you, what does Irishness mean to you and how will you be celebrating your St. Patrick's Day? Now, we're going to continue this on for just a moment because I have Mary on the line and I didn't get a chance to get to her before the news. Hi, Mary. How are you?
You're all right, AJ. I'm very good indeed.
Good.
I'm very good indeed. I was listening to that. It was interesting and, you know, quite a lot I agree with. But I came to this country when I was very young and I had a very nationalist mother who was immersed in everything cultural in this country. Her family were either traditional Uilleann pipers or Irish dancers or so I went down, I suppose, the Irish dancing route and was 14 years in Bunratty Castle as principal dancer there. So I was very immersed in promoting Irish culture and Irish dance and Irish tourism. You know, we went every year, several times a year, promoting the sense of Irishness, which almost seems now, if you look on it, to be nationalist almost seems like a four-letter word. And I often wonder why that has happened, because to me, were I to be asked what nationalism means, it just means family. It means a connection, something that one has in common with somebody else. And for many, many years, we could say that our culture, our music, our dance, our language, our sense of humour was something of a national pride. Now people almost feel ashamed, I think, to say that they have national pride. It's almost seemed to be mistaken for being right wing or extreme right wing, which seems to be the nice new word that's used, when in actual fact, someone like me looks on nationalism as family, as having a shared love of something that unites you as a people and stands you out, if you like, amongst your peers as being a group that has something of a shared identity. And that's what it means to me. As for St. Patrick's Day, I can't ever remember being at a St. Patrick's Day parade. Purely because I was one of these children that never really liked walking out in the rain.
And yeah, it's always raining.
stuck. I mean, I was an only child of an only child. And, I suppose my mother would have been one of these very fussy people. Everything had to be clean and tidy and neat.
Yeah, yeah.
And the idea of going out in your dancing shoes or in your costume that was and walking the streets in shoes that were going to get wet, and I suppose she inbred it into me to hate the idea of the St. Patrick's Day parade.
So I
think I might have been at one once, but I've never felt the need to be at a St. Patrick's Day parade to feel a sense of Irishness and a sense of love for the culture and the language and the identity.
So and what I do you do then, Mary? What will you do, like on Monday, for example?
Well, I lecture on, I'll be getting the papers ready because exams are coming up.
Oh, okay.
And I'm trying to, yeah, so I'm just going to be doing that. But to be honest with you, it was never a day that I ever felt I have to do something. I have to go somewhere. I don't drink, so maybe that's I'm starting to sound like I'm incredibly boring.
No, you're not.
But, you know, I just thought I'm starting to talk myself into being seen as incredibly boring. But no, I just never felt the need to go to a St. Patrick's Day parade or to go out on St. Patrick's Day. I'm quite happy sitting at home and watching television or going out with friends maybe for a meal or that, but nothing overtly exciting, you know.
It's funny because you sound like I thought you were going to say no. I was always in the parades, especially with your Irish dancing, but saying what your mother
never
was like and neat and tidy.
Yeah,
and
no.
Yeah.
Everything had to be. I mean, she was the type of person, even if she told me when she was very young, she was an only child, when she'd be going out to bring in coal for her mother, she'd put a cloth over her shoes in case they'd get dusty.
Oh, gosh, yeah, yeah.
She was that obsessive, compulsive about cleanliness. And, oh, jeepers, the idea that you would be going out in your costume and that it would rain and you were in light shoes.
Your little dancing pumps, the pumps or whatever.
Dancing pumps.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And they would be ruined. And she kind of instilled that idea in me, you know, of St. Patrick's Day always being associated with rain.
But literally every St. Patrick's Day I remember, it's been raining. Always, every single time.
I've never known a St. Patrick's Day that it hasn't been raining.
Yeah.
And I think that's probably why I've never been predisposed to getting myself out of the house and going down and standing. I probably should. I should be ashamed of myself.
No, not at all, Mary.
Given I was so immersed, I mean, in everything Irish from an early age, St. Patrick's Day never made it into my space.
But you're lucky, do it every day, you know. You celebrate your Irishness every day with other things, so why do you need to?
Well, every day. I was born in England with a Welsh grandmother and an English father, but my mother made up for everything with her Irishness. I mean, she spoke the language, she was a traditional singer, her mother was all into traditional music and dance, and her uncles were Uilleann pipers, and so it was always there, that sense of being Irish. And then of course going down the Bunratty route and spending my whole life as a dancer and in shows and that, it was very hard to get away from this sense of Irishness. And now I think, as your other speakers, I think Damien was one, said, there's a lot of that sense of national pride and nationalism gone, because people see, a great deal of people seem to be afraid to say that they're Irish or that they're nationalist for fear that it's seen as being excluding the new Irish or people who are coming to this country. And in fact, I have a podcast where I interview people who make Ireland their home, or Irish people who leave Ireland and make other countries their home. And it's amazing how much we have in common. And the things that we miss, no matter whether we're coming to Ireland or leaving Ireland, the things that are that we miss are things that unite us.
Yeah. What's the name of the podcast, Mary?
It's called Wild Geese.
Say that again.
Wild Geese.
Wild beef or geese?
No, geese.
Sorry.
Wild geese. Wild the flight geese. Of the wild geese.
Lovely. Yeah, wild it's, beef. I was like, oh.
It's just kind of a play on, you know, people leaving their own country and coming to other countries, and or vice versa, leaving Ireland and going to other countries, what they miss about home, what they feel about that they love about their new country, what it reminds them about their own home, you know. So I suppose it's creating a sense of nationalism, I suppose, among people who have just come to this country, or people who have left the country. Do you know, we are in a time when we are ashamed quite a lot to say we're nationalists or we're proud of being Irish, because people will say, oh yeah, but what is Irish? And for me, Irish is family, having something that you have in common, a cultural identity, a language, something, a history,
yeah,
that connects you as a people.
And, no, I love that, Mary. That's great. And the podcast sounds great. I'm going to have a listen. You've got an extra listener now, Mary.
Awesome. Thank you. Thanks
thank you so much.
So much.
I'm going to have to go to the ads now, but thank you so much, Mary, for your input on that. That was really
indeed.
Good.
Now, real people, real opinions, Nighttime Talk.
Ireland's classic hits radio.